And you are listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, 90.9 FM Honolulu, 91.9 FM Islandwide, 92.7 in the Anahola Moloa'a area, 104.7 on the gathering place of Oahu, and on the cable dial 95.1. Streaming worldwide at www.kkcr.org. I'm Laura Christine, stepping in for Felicia Cowden on the Kauai Soapbox Live. And this next 2 hours will be a talk show kind story. Call-ins, if you are wanting to get on the community radio to share your mana'o and your concerns, your comments, any events, anything's happening in your neighborhood, what's good is good for all of us. Give us a call at 826-7771. My little brother is in the background. Have a guest in the booth, Eric Hansen. Coming from the Big Island this weekend, and then we will have some callers talking about the council decision on tomorrow's agenda for a county manager. It's on the agenda to be discussed. We'll talk about it today, as well as some infrastructure that is being developed as we speak to get us off of the oil, but in the process, creating some eyesores on the side of the road. So we'll be right back in a very short time. How would you feel if so? How would you feel? Would you not be
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
And this out-of-the-box program is actually the Kauai Soapbox, and it's made possible by the good folks at George's Food Truck, Kilauea Paint, and Louis Soltrin's Soltrin Construction. So mahalo to our underwriters for making this Kauai Community Radio program happen.
Chef George of the Jungle Food Truck, now in Wailua at Kamokila Hawaiian Village, serving local burgers, gyros, and falafel. Also, Summer's Organic Shave Ice with fresh fruit. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. 783-0230 for takeout. Chef George of the Jungle supports KKCR.
Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, specializing in professional-grade Pittsburgh paints and paint sundries, premium pet food, and organic livestock feed, propane exchange and filling too, located just past the Shell station on Kolo Road in Kilauea, Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 5:30, and Saturday from 8 to 1, locally owned Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, 828-6655.
Louis and Eddie Soltrin Construction, 639-4836, building quality on Kauai for over 25 years. New custom homes, remodeling, and repairs. Exclusive dealer for Talia's Hurricane Roll-Down Shutters Protection for your home. Louis and Eddie Soltrin Construction, 639-4836, or soltrinconstruction.com.
Thank you. Right on. And that is the beginning of the show. The shofar, show good sign is up. Mahalos to Ya, X-Man, and the Slackers, the one-night-only house band of the moment. We might try to tease them into the booth for one last set before the 6 o'clock hour is here. But before we get there, I've got Eric Hansen, and he is on mic 2 joining us. Eric, how you doing today, brother?
Good, good, Jimmy. How are you?
Good. Eric, you have a Saturday night show every other week that you bless our radio station and our INO with the airwaves of a Saturday Soul Shakedown Revival.
A Soul Shakedown Party, yeah.
There we go. And you're here. We're going to talk a little bit about the Mauna, a lot about the Mauna, and your kind of work for the last couple of... it's been heavy duty for folks who are just getting here on the island, visiting from somewhere else. Mauna Kea is the big mountain on the big island that is the center of a lot of controversy at the moment, so we'll visit that. For folks who don't know, Governor Ige has declared a temporary halt in any construction, so that means that the victory for the protectors is sweet, but also short-lived, perhaps, because it's a temporary halt.
Who knows?
And we've got a phone call right now that somebody who did want to call and talk story about the county manager idea that's being floated about. The council will be hearing that one tomorrow on the agenda. The council will look to explore the issue further. Caller, are you there?
Yes, Jimmy, I'm here.
Terrific. Then may I identify you as such? I recognize the voice, but...
You got it right, Jimmy. Okay. Nobody misses this voice, right?
Well, there you go. If you read the Garden Island newspaper, you've seen a number of letters by Glenn Mickens, Kupuna Council activist from... Waipoli, Kapahi, where's that part of the island you come from, my friend?
The east side, Jimmy.
The east side, we'll call it that.
Kapa'a, right, the homesteads.
Right. In the homesteads, up in that area. And I asked you to join us in this conversation about the county council considering for tomorrow the formation of a council committee to look at the county manager position. Tell us a little bit about what's expected tomorrow on the agenda, as well as the concept behind this county manager. What does a county manager do? Who would select them? And who's the ideal candidate for that position?
Well, as you pointed out, Jimmy, it's on the agenda tomorrow, thanks to Mason Schock and Mel Raposo for getting it on there. A group of us have been after this thing for 5 years. You've been relatively, I think, familiar with it, Jimmy. You've done your bit in trying to help us with this thing. And, you know, we've been fought every step of the way. There seems to be this power structure, so to speak, in the administration, and, you know, they like it the way it is. But there's so many people that are being dissatisfied with the problems we're incurring on this island, okay? Our roads, our infrastructure, falling apart before their eyes, solid waste program, things that have been going on and on, and we don't get them solved. So, you know, if you look at the county manager style of government, it's being used all over the world in probably 50%, I think, of the municipalities with a population over, I don't know what it is. I don't have the exact statistics. But they're all using it with a great deal of satisfaction. So all we're asking is that we can get this thing put on the ballot for the people to vote up or down. That can't really be asking that much, but we've had a problem trying to get it just put on the ballot. And that's why all your listeners out there, we're going to need your help and going to need them badly. But at least the council at this stage of the game, thanks to Mel and Mason, they're looking into it. They're going to form a subcommittee of probably 3 members of the council to look into the pros and the cons of it. We couldn't even get them to do that before. But at least they're looking into it, and we feel that we have a far better chance than before. What happens is, I don't know, I'm not that all that familiar with all the details. My friend Waller Lewis and Ken Taylor, who have been with this thing is all the time too, probably have more information. But the IMCA or ICMA, International County or City Managers Association, they have all this material from all over the world that the people can get a hold of and find out how it exactly works. But it does work. You've got a manager now that the council and the mayor together, they as one group with the mayor sitting on the council, potentially as the council chair sitting on it, tells the county manager what they want done. And when they tell him what they want done, he goes out and does it the most cost-effective, efficient way possible. There's no pointing the finger back and forth. I mean, Jimmy, you've been many, many, many council meetings, and you know you've heard the council and the mayor pointing the finger back and forth. It's not our fault. It's your fault. Back and forth.
Right.
Well, if the mayor is now sitting on that council, there's no finger pointing. He is 1/7 of the voting power of that of the council. So when an issue comes up, he's part of this. He's part of the problem. They go ahead and tell the county manager, who has the experience and know-how to be able to go out and solve these type of problems. And you know, he's the one that's going to be hiring the department heads and people that are experienced in what they're doing. The politics are basically left out of who you're going to hire for these positions, because the manager knows if he doesn't do the job, he can be fired for not doing it. Unlike the mayor, who can, you know, sit there for 4 years and nothing's going to happen to him.
Right, and the ability for the, if you will, council to be able to call forth a department head, or to be able to call forth somebody on the administrative side and say, hey, so what's the plan? What's the latest?
So exactly.
Can sometimes often be a little bit convoluted when you don't have direct access to those people. But with a county manager, the council would go directly to the manager then to the department head, and maybe a couple of short steps are removed out of that process of finding out, well, so where are we at with the road paving, or where are we at with this youth drug treatment facility, or any number of county issues that
sure,
sometimes...
You, Jimmy, you remember how long ago that drug facility, was it 10 years ago, and they were trying to put it down there by the salt pond? And I was still in the chambers that night. It was late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole community, I'm not sure whether you're there or not, the whole community came up and said, we don't want that center down here, period. So that was enough people yelled about it. Not. So we're still sitting here 10 years later with no definitive plan of where it's going to be or where the funds are going to come from to go ahead and build this thing. So situations like that, this manager isn't going to be the magic bullet that cures it all, but he's going to be a guy that had experience where he was, experienced enough to be able to have addressed these problems prior to his being hired. And he's going to have the proper qualifications. So, again, you're not going to see the old boy system, the buddy-buddy, hire this guy because he's your buddy or something. That's not going to happen, Jimmy.
Right. And the other issue related to having the mayor be the council chair, selected as, if you will, the most popular person on the island because they won, we reduced the expense of having a mayoral candidacy or a mayoral contest, so we can kind of focus on the issues and not so much on popularity. But
sure, well, like the mayor, you know, he can go ahead and be elected as usual. He'll have his civic duties, taking pictures, doing his other civic duties along with it. But he still is going to have the power now. They say, well, you're eliminating him totally. No, he's still got one of the 7 votes on that council. Goes to the manager, and the manager again doesn't make the ultimate decision. He comes back, and the council and the mayor, along with the mayor, have the ability to go ahead and tell him they want to do it and don't do it.
Right.
Of course, after hiring this guy with the expertise, they would be kind of idiotic, wouldn't they, to deny that here's the way that he wants to do it. Let's go ahead and give it a try. Like the Kilauea gym that's been leaking for, what, 20 years, for crying out loud? I mean, we've spent enough money in legal fees and stuff to probably build 2 or 3 new gyms alone, fix a roof leak.
Right, right. And to you know, bring it into the modern era, the county manager, he or she will be selected based on their skills,
ability.
their training, their experience,
exactly,
education, all these things would be taken into consideration to make this position and this person the most qualified and capable person to be the chief executor or the administrator of our county government.
Exactly, Jimmy. And the beauty of this thing is it's flexible. It's not written in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's flexible. It's flexible enough that, hey, they can go ahead and set the criteria and set the rules and things of how they want to be able to do it. But again, the hiring is going to be the key. You're not going to be able to get some guy that's a flunky or a political appointee or something. The guy's going to have to show you he's got the qualifications, just as you're pointing out.
And Glenn, you had mentioned before that this had been attempted, at least trying to get it on the ballot. The Charter Review Commission contemplated this consideration. I remember a couple, three, 4 years back, probably longer, there was workshops. There were a number of meetings held island-wide to discuss the pros and the cons.
Exactly.
And yet that body, that Charter Review Commission, was not able to put it on the ballot or allow it to be further discussed. And now we get another opportunity to put it on the table for public discussion in tomorrow's agenda. Do you know where it's at on the agenda and people can participate?
They got one on a communication. They got one as a resolution. I think it's 2015-50 or something. That's the resolution. That comes up on the third page, I believe it happens to be. But they're basically both going to be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where,
mm-hmm,
you know, we're trying to get them to go ahead, pick that subcommittee, at least when you start moving forward. Don't, you know, pigeonhole this thing and just let it dwindle away like so. You're familiar with, Jimmy. So many things keep on just disappearing. Let's push this thing at this stage of the game. But, you know, thanks to these later council members now, they all seem to be relatively conducive to putting this thing on the ballot. And there's only three ways you're going to do it: the Charter Review Commission, an initiative by the public, and by the council. Those three things. We feel the Charter Review Commission, of course, this is basically, I'm not knocking these people, but they're basically a political group that's been picked by the mayor. And, you know, if they don't like it, they don't like it. But if the mayor doesn't like it, why, I'm sure that's going to have some influence. It doesn't have to be,
mm-hmm,
but I think that's basically the way the system works. You pick somebody, that person is going to be on your side. That's why you happen to pick them. So we feel that the council is the easiest way we're going to get this. So go out and get thousands of signatures isn't that easy. It takes time-consuming. But all the council has got to do is go ahead and put it on the ballot, give the people the right to vote it up or down.
Mm-hmm. Well, there we go. So tomorrow morning in the council chambers, this item will be on the agenda, and folks can participate.
Oh, yeah.
Is it too late to send testimony? Can they still?
No. They can go ahead and send testimony. The more testimony they can get in, or, you know, or participate, be there, show that they're, you know, say they're for it or something, they're willing to go ahead and give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's thousands, hundreds or thousands of your listeners out there that aren't satisfied with the way our style of government now, the strong mayor council type. It's just not going in the right direction for Kauai. And, you know, there's no reason in the world we can't at least go ahead and give it a try. And again, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, Jimmy. You know, that's the best part. You got a template out there that shows where the thing has been working. It is working now in all these other municipalities, and it shows what the populations are. All these numbers can be brought up, and the council, the subcommittee is going to obviously want those things, which Ken Taylor's been great enough. He's really looked into this story. He's got a basket cart full of stuff of all the things where the thing is working.
Mm-hmm.
So people can get these things. He's basically passed these along to our council.
Well, thanks, Glenn, for being willing to talk story about this issue. And tomorrow morning at the council chambers, you'll be there with your blue blazer on, I'm sure, and probably
You're
surrounded
right.
by Joe and Ken. Maybe Larry and Walter will be there as well.
Yes.
I have a feeling Felicia, who I usually is listen to on the radio on Tuesday afternoons, she'll probably be there.
She comes every time now. Sure. Yeah, she's doing a good job.
Yep, there we go. So she's swapping with me on Thursday. She'll be probably give us an accounting council report and an update on all that good stuff. Glenn Mickens, we appreciate you joining us here on Kauai Community Radio.
Well, Jimmy, I appreciate all you do. I appreciate all the people at KKCR that make this available, this program available to the public, so you have a sounding board where people can listen and form their own opinions. So I really appreciate it, Jimmy. Thanks so much for what you do.
Oh, no worries. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it. And aloha. See you tomorrow down at the council chambers. So that's tomorrow. I'm going to read a quick thing that Walter Lewis wrote in the Garden Island yesterday, or I'm sorry, not yesterday, but it was last week, stating, Mr. Lewis says, at the June 17th meeting, the Kauai County Council considered the formation of a council member subcommittee to investigate the costs and benefits of a county adoption of a council manager system of government. Although no formal determination was made, it appeared that the council members were generally supportive of such an action. The basic change from Kauai's present system that would be made by the county manager system is that the chief executive of the county would be a professionally educated and trained manager appointed by and serving at the pleasure of the council instead of a popularity contest elected mayor. The county manager system exists in about half of the communities of our country, similar to Kauai, and they are found in all except two or three states. Proponents of the county manager system stress several key features. First is the cost efficiency importance of having a qualified executive managing county operations. Under an appointed manager, department heads would be chosen for merit rather than the case in the mayoral system now in effect here, where sometimes the selection is made for patronage reasons. Second, the avoidance of the now almost continuous finger-pointing between the council and the administration will end. The array extending over a good number of years of unsolved matters is impressive. And third, the accountability arising from the direct line of responsibility. If the county manager system were adopted here, it would be the first time in Hawaii. A contention made by some opponents of the county manager system is that it could be illegal in Hawaii. Common sense would indicate otherwise, as it is accepted in nearly all of the other states. The Hawaii Constitution and laws do not appear to present any hurdles, as they both authorize the county to frame and adopt a charter for its own self-government, including the methods of appointing and electing its officials and setting their duties and compensation. However, in 2009, strangely hybrid opinion and commentary that was most likely politically motivated, the county Kauai County Attorney Office claimed that the constitutional phrase regarding the establishment of an executive's administrative and legislative structure require separation of the powers between the executive and legislative branches. This construction is highly tenuous, as there is nothing in the phrase that would suggest that the conclusion reached was intended. The political direction of the opinion is illustrated by its unfounded assertion that the county manager deprives the public of the constitutional and statutory right to be democratically elected. Nowhere is such a right specifically provided. Fortunately, the state attorney general's office later largely put the issue to rest, finding no issue with the county manager system, citing with approval the same constitutional and statutory language mentioned by the county attorney, but interpreting it differently. When a definitive proposal is proposed for the ballot, it would, though, be prudent to request a confirming opinion from the attorney general. The next step for the council to pursue its consideration of the concept of the county manager system will be the formation of a council subcommittee. While this procedural method is new to Kauai, it is a route followed by many of the 10,000 communities that now have county manager systems. The record of their experience is available to provide guidance for our council. The work of the subcommittee will include reviewing the options to be made to tailor the proposal to serve local requirements and to make a specific amendment available to the voters for approval. That's an article, guest commentary by Walter Lewis, resident of Lihue. And Walter Lewis, former attorney, has studied this issue quite a bit and is an advocate for the county manager. And with that in mind, that is on tomorrow's agenda. Today, 4:25, we're at the story that we're going to follow next is with my guest across from me on mic two, Brother Eric.
Hey, Jimmy.
Thanks for your patience.
No worries.
You just got back from a very rewarding and spiritually enriching experience on the Mauna. Can you share a little bit?
Spiritually enriching is definitely one way to describe it. Another way, I guess, would be to say that it recharged my activator button.
Good for you.
Gosh, you know, I cannot put a kahe out there and tell people what for do, but I strongly implore and encourage that everyone goes up on the mauna, regardless of how they feel about the current situation, because it's a humbling experience that when you see what's actually going up there, it makes you really realize how important it is that we work together as a community, and how we need to take care of each other. And I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, I don't see aloha up there, and I hear all this crying, and it doesn't seem like a very peaceful place. But the people who are up there, regardless of where their stance is, whether they're working for the Office of Mauna Kea Management, they work for the researchers on the mountain doing telescope stuff, or the people who are there who feel like they need to protect the aina, it's all really in peace. So I'd like to just start out with that, is that, you know, the concept of kapu aloha, to, you know, to be in a state of consciousness where, you know, you don't talk stink, you don't do the wrong things, you think wisely about your actions, is definitely in place up there.
Mm-hmm.
Where to begin?
Well, where do you begin? I think maybe for listeners, like I said, those who are just coming here, how would you describe the issue? What is the issue, and why are people rallying behind the issues?
Okay, well, so Mauna Kea is an ideal spot for telescope research, astronomy research, according to people who are in the astronomy world. Mauna Kea is also the pico, the temple, the portal. It has a very strong significance in Hawaiian culture. For those who aren't maybe not Hawaiian, but have a strong affinity for the land and care very much for our natural resources, it's also a place of sacredness, not just for the spiritual realm, but for that of our natural resources. So that of our watersheds, our pretty much it comes down, if you think about it, the watershed provides everything. This is where our water comes from. This provides life for everything, from the creatures that are up there on the mountain, so everything that comes down in the sea. So you have already two different kinds of varying kind of maybe views of things. One place of looking at as a sacred temple, and another place of looking at as a tremendous amount of a place with tremendous amount of potential for astronomy-based research. Right now, there's currently 12 telescopes up on the mountain that have been built since, I believe, as early as the late 60s. And every time there's been a telescope that has been built upon the mountain, there's always been contention, opposition. But in this day and age, with social media, the awareness of how much opposition there is to development on the mountain is quite pronounced. So the Mauna Kea right now, there is a proposal, or they're trying to put forth what they call the 30-meter telescope, the TMT.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be the world's largest telescope. Supposed to be the Cadillac of telescopes. Supposed to see to the beginning of time. Do a whole bunch of fancy stuff, take bigger pictures than we've ever seen before. And then there is the faction of people that feel that, you know, enough is enough. This is a sacred place. This is a temple. This is a place of worship. And, you know, cannot mess up your natural resources that are there. And so there's a strong opposition, I would say, to the telescope building, as it's not just a opposition to science.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the people that are up there on the mountain that are protecting what they feel is right are very pro-science, including myself. You know, I have a master's of science and a bachelor's of science. I consider myself a scientist. But there's also, you know, depending on who you are and how you feel, science has a right place and a right context of things. And the context of where they're building things is maybe out of place here. Where do we go from here? It's so multifaceted, and I think this is not just an issue for us here in Hawaii or for Hawaiian culture, but this is a issue for where we go for things in this world. So, you know, they say that this will be the last telescope that will be built on Mauna Kea, but that's what they said last time. That's what they always say. So the question becomes, you know, what kind of precedent does this leave us? Okay, we put another a dent on this earth. Where do we go from here? And I think those implications can be quite pronounced, and it's of great concern for me, as well as many of the other people who are involved in the protecting of the mountain, the Aloha Aina movement up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess just to back up a little bit, why I've been so strongly devoted to the mountain. Back in 2011, I used to work up on Mauna Kea. I was commissioned to do the very first botanical survey ever done on the mountain. I was leading a crew of five other individuals, and our duty was to document every single plant life, lichen life, moss like, grass like, shrub, tree, pretty much everything you could classify in the botany world up on the mountain, from 9,000 feet elevation at the visitor center at Hale Pohaku, all the way up to the top of the mountain, down the mountain towards the west side, towards the north side, towards the east side, the whole thing. So after, you know, 6-7 months of just being very intimate and spending 10 days or 10 hours a day up there, sacrificing myself, I almost died up there on the mountain. Just there's a lot of dangerous things that happen over there: dehydration, falling to possibly a terrible death, blah blah blah. losing field crew members, losing data, breaking tires, messing up cars, getting sick from the elevation. I sacrificed a lot, and what, you know, one of the things that we found in our research, we had to go to where they were talking about developing the 30-meter telescope. It wasn't part of the actual development of the telescope at the time, but we were there, and we were supposed to document stuff. And one of the really unique things about that area where they want to do the 30-meter telescope is the geology over there. So the rocks, the pohaku, that come out of this geology, this lava flow, are actually like no other spot on the mountain. Each spot is actually unique. Who would have thought? You know, everyone's special in their own kind of way. So from afar, it looks like, oh, you know, there's really no plant life. It's just a bunch of rocks.
Barren. Moonscape.
Moonscape, right. But the really unique thing about these bigger rocks, this is they're kind of more like big boulders, not so much like a flat pohoihoi flow, if you can think about like those smooth lava flows you see down on the eastern slopes of Mauna Loa as you're in Puna on the Big Island or something like that. But these are big bogas, you know, monster tire kind. and the way that the pohaku, the rocks are shaped, and the angle that they're at is when the snow comes, it allows for, you know, the snow comes, then it melts. But in the way these rocks are in certain areas and the way they're angled, there will be like residual moisture that we left from the snow melt, which then will help facilitate having these unique little biological communities of ferns, mosses, lichens, grasses. So, you know, once you get down on your hands and knees and you start kissing the rocks every day, you start to realize, gosh, you know, this place is alive, you know. And I mean, I knew intuitively this place was alive, but when you can feel it and see it and document it, gosh, goodness, you know, it's alive. So we did our reports. We showed where everything was up on the mountain. And, you know, I went along my way. I went on journeys for years, and I don't know, just, you know, never knew what was really happening with DMT. And then in, let's see, October of last year, they started to attempt to do construction up on the mountain to develop the telescope. And that's kind of what hit my activator button back again. And for me, amongst many of the issues that are wrong with developing the mountain, is that the TMT and the state didn't follow their own, you know, what is in the law. So to develop an area up on the mountain, which is in a conservation district area, you need to meet 8 criteria. Two of them, I know that they have not met, if they're going to get this permit. And one of them is that you cannot disrupt the natural resources, and the other one is you cannot alter the physical environment. So there are natural resources that have been documented with plant, lichens, mosses, grasses, ferns underneath these rocks where they're going to do the proposed 30 meter telescope. And so you know, you have these things documented, and yet I guess some judge in Honolulu or something like that has made the decision that, oh, you know, it doesn't matter that these biological communities are here, it's not significant enough. You guys get the green light to go. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that going on already. There is a lawsuit being put out, an appeal to stop the telescope. But yet, even though the TMT is still being held up in court, the 30-meter telescope, they still push on. So there's a lot of questionable things that are going on that need to be resolved before things go into place with the development on the mountain or the halt of the development. So that's kind of, I guess, where my background has come into why I got so involved with this movement in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sorry, Kalamai, it's just, there's a lot to think about here, and it's, you know, it's kind of been really emotional for me, and, you know, I never really, understood what guys went through in war. You know, and like kind of come back a little bit damaged and shell shocked, but you know, in the time that I spent up on the mountain and dealt with my own battles just to protect this earth, it's really taken a toll on me. I just wish that no one has to go to battle.
It's definitely heavy duty trips with that. We've got a caller who'd like to join the conversation. Aloha caller, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I really want to honor the space of silence and that space of prayer and that space that we all need to feel this right now. We need to feel this because we're the only ones who are going to be able to say no enough all at once and in prayer. to stop it. So I feel like I've figured it out. I feel like what the underground movement on Kauai is to have potlucks and to have pule potlucks where, you know, it's really pretty simple. We're just getting together and sharing food and sharing aloha and discussing things like how we can maybe grow some vegetables and do a little, you know, inner ohana co-op, you know. We can play at the beach and discuss how we're going to, you know, help each other figure out how the GMOs ram this stuff down our throats by hiding it. And, you know, maybe some, you know, brother has a gallery with a stage and a movie screen where we could show documentaries of people who've already studied this. So right now we need to gather information and pray and send out all this prayer, because we know how powerful prayer is. We know that's the only thing. Like, if we go over there and we do our signs and we do whatever we do, that's awesome. But we also have to pray, because the only thing that's going to fight their magic is prayer. And love-based prayer with faith and hope, closing our eyes and seeing what we want, seeing the Ahupua'a restored in our own modern 2015 way, joining councils that are designing these as we speak and figuring out how we can grow our own food no matter what. Like, even if you're living in a tent or a car or a condo, there's something you can grow to show yourself that if you put a seed that's viable in a piece of soil, it can grow. Because I think people don't want to fail. They don't know how to do it, so they don't even try. And that's me. I'm talking about me. So my prayer goes out to all of you that are my family. I've been on this island for almost 5 years. I feel like a, you know, new transplant, but I've seen so many changes in the 5 years. I've seen the ecosystem of the reef go down the drains because of rich, rich people who just put lawsuits out there to stop things from changing. But if we pray, nothing can stop us. And I love you all for doing what you do. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you, sister. We've got another call right after you. Aloha, sister, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to tell your man that was speaking how inspiring he is, and what he's talking about to me is extremely important. Unfortunately, when people get into being developers and, you know, builders of industrial things, they forget that this earth...
Uh-oh. Sister, we lose you?
Hello.
Gosh darn it. Well, that happens. Call back if you still are catching the signal. It does happen, Eric. I think you strike a chord with a number of us in regards to the intensity and the fact that this is beyond the physical.
Yeah, and, you know, I go back to the first caller and, you know, going to talk about believing in prayer.
Mm.
You know, I'm not a religious person, and but you know, that was really profound for me, because at one point when the police was coming up and they was arresting people, it kind of got really scary for a moment, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, really aggressive, and I kind of feared for my life, you know. And but that power of, you know, that kako effort coming together, and, you know, we pull it all the time. We woke up at 4 in the morning that morning. That was the first thing we did, you know. And yeah, you know, if you know believe, bro, you go up there, you're gonna believe.
And this was your second time on the mountain. You were up there earlier.
Yeah, I was up there in April, mm-hmm. when there was an initial call for possible threatening of development, which at that point there nothing actually happened. But this time there was. So there was talk about, you know, there was going to be the National Guard, and you know, there was all this this very this profound energy in the air, and you know, so I had gotten a call from Auntie Marine, who is Lanakila's mother, who, Lanakila, if you guys don't know, you see him in most of the YouTube videos. He's the brother that's kind of running the movement. He's got the long hair with the shave sides and stuff. And, you know, so Auntie Marine called me up and she's like, Eric, you got to come over. And I was like, what you mean? What's going on? I had no idea what was going on because, you know, it was Father's Day a couple days earlier and I was hanging out with my dad guys and I just kind of lost what was kind of going on with the movement. She told me, okay, the bulldozers are going to come. And I felt so upset because I felt like I had all this kuleana, all this duty I had to do here on Kauai because of, you know, my own, my jobs and stuff like that. But, you know, somehow, luckily, I had a blessing, an angel kind of helped me through it and you know, helped me facilitate getting over there. And I remember this, I got up there on Tuesday night at like 8 o'clock, and I got up there in the dark, and it was just this very raw energy. And then the next morning, you know, it was totally quiet and peaceful. But it had that very scary energy because we knew that the DNLR was going to come, the construction was going to come, the county police was going to come. We weren't sure if the National Guard was going to come. And it was quiet, and we yalla a when the sun was rising. And then it just became quiet, and no one was talking. And then I just remember someone started hitting a drum kind of up on the hillside, and it was just all boom, boom, boom. Boom. No one was talking. And it just kind of synchronized with your heart, like, okay, this is the time of coup. This is the time for battle. This is the moment you've always been waiting for that you never wish would happen. You know, I never heard such quietness, but knew that there was so much energy and tension in the air.
Heavy duty.
Whew. Heavy like the Mauna. So, you know, the night before, we were having this big meeting. The night before, the actual police officers and everything was supposed to come up. And it was probably about like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Still having a meeting until 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, you know. You know, there's a lot of just energy going on, and the head of DNLR, who is the interim director of, I guess, the conservation police enforcement, who the police that came up that morning, the next morning, he came up to us and he's like, you know, aloha mai kako, kikoa, blah blah blah, and you know, and he started crying and he's like, you know, whatever happens tomorrow, you know, I just want to give my aloha to you guys. And it was just, you know, like, I don't think he wanted to be there either. And it was just really heavy because, you know, he kind of started crying on us, and it's like we all kind of cried back. And it's just like, gosh, what kind of world do we have to come to where we're being forced to do things we don't want just because, oh, we got a job and we have kids, and if we don't decry and we don't do what our boss tells us and we be a good robot, then we lose our jobs and our kids' security. And, right. Like, that's so heavy. Just, you know that a brother guy out there is just, you know, being forced into doing something else that no one wants to be doing. And so, you know, we already had that energy going on already that, you know, from the night before. And when we woke up that morning, it's like, okay, they gotta do this. They don't want to do this. We don't want to do this. You know. So. So it's like probably 7 o'clock now. So we're up since 4, and we see the first caravan of cars come, which is the DNLR's DOCARE, which is the Department of Conservation Enforcement, something like that. So essentially, DOCARE are the police that go on state lands and make sure that guys don't cut off koa trees or don't go down to the kai, down to the ocean, and pour motor oil and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they come up there today, that morning, knowing that, you know, if there are people blocking the road, that is a hazard to road, whatever, it's blocking traffic, and that's a hazard. So these guys who are supposed to come protect the land were coming to arrest people who were protecting the land for obstructing traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these DNR guys come. It's around 7 in the morning, and I'm sure most of you are familiar now. There's the famous crosswalk. There's a crosswalk at the visitor center at Halepohaku at 9,000 feet where the protector's camp is, I guess you could say, too, mm-hmm. which I wouldn't call it a camp because that denotes maybe a dirty hippie camp that maybe some people once might have known. But I would say that it was more, I call it a community center,
mm-hmm.
where people are keeping things clean, there's recycling. There's never a dull moment when there's no, quote, activating going on, any protecting. There is lots of workshops going on where there's exchanges of stories, exchanges of knowledge. So it's never a stagnant moment. It's mm-hmm. it's the ultimate outdoor classroom. So, gosh, there's so much stuff. So anyway, trying to stay focused here. Just call my...
You're doing well, Eric, I just want to let you flow because you're there. And, you know, listeners, if you want to join the conversation, 826-7771. Or if you're off island, you're going to give us a shout out at 866-275-1112. Eric Hansen is sharing, you know, heartfelt stuff from the Mauna and how it is. Eric, reliving some of it and inspiring others, and I want to just allow that space to occur.
Mahalo. So, just to get back to the story, and for you guys that didn't follow exactly what happened, and the news doesn't always tell us what exactly happened. So,
mm-hmm. So
DNR comes up front, and it's like a big choo-choo train. Behind them is Goodfellow Brothers, who is the construction guys who's supposed to be contracted for development of the telescope that up there on the Mauna. And behind them is the County of Hawaii Police Department. So there's a long line of people walking back and forth in the crosswalk. If you're walking in the crosswalk back and forth, you're not obstructing traffic, yeah? You're just walking on the crosswalk.
Right.
So, the ultimate idea behind the strategy for Wednesday when the enforcement agencies came was to stall time. Because construction guys, by the way, Pauhana 3:30, they don't work past 3:30.
Right.
You know. So, our idea was stall them to 3:30. We'll do that till they can't handle it anymore, you know, and hopefully we can still keep that up. But so we stall for time, and the strategy was what we do is when we got onto the state road, so there's a paved road heading up Mauna Kea, you get past the crosswalk, you go a little bit farther, and then there's a dirt road, and the dirt road becomes state land, so that's all being enforced by the DNLR DoCare guys. So I don't know what was the whole dialogue, why we let the state guys go, but we let them go and let them go straight up to the dirt road. When they got there, they were greeted by a line of maybe 15 individuals right across the road.
Mm-hmm.
And every maybe 30 meters, 100 feet, something like that, there'd be another line of 15 people. And it just kept going up the mountain. If you're familiar with Mauna Kea or if you're not, the thing has a couple switchbacks. It just goes, you know, every half mile or so, get one switchback, goes the other way, goes up, switchback about 3 or 4 times. So probably the first 4 miles is switchbacks. So I'm not sure how far we had the lines up, but we had the lines up pretty darn good. So we had we had the kind, we had the let the state guys through, and then the people who were down at the, where the crosswalk was, they were still holding, going back and forth, not letting the Goodfellow Brothers construction go through or the county police.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, and then you have the DNLR who's now sandwiched between a line of people going up the mountain and a line of people going back and forth in the crosswalk. So I'm not sure how it happened, but before the Goodfellow Brothers construction and the county could let go, like could go up the mountain, the people below at the crosswalk had followed the lead of, I guess, other guys who had made lines across the road. So as the construction guys and the cops were allowed to go through, there was a line of eight, there was a series of eight lines of individuals blocking the road again. Mm-hmm. So now we're kind of killing time really good. You know, it's probably about 9 o'clock. But eventually, you gotta move, because if you don't move, they're going to arrest you for blocking traffic.
Mm-hmm. And there were arrests made that day, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, but this is before any of this happened. So mm-hmm. This is 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So finally, the construction crew meets up with the DNLR, and the construction crew is being tailed by the county of Hawaii police. So it's maybe about 9:15 now, and you can tell that the DNLR guys are kind of getting really upset, especially this guy Kamakau, who we'll get into in a minute. You know, and he's the leader who's gonna run the arrest, and you know, I actually had the fortunateness of being what they call legal observers.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't a person who stood in line blocking the traffics, but what the protectors had asked is, they had a lawyer that came in from Oahu, and they wanted to make sure that any action that the police or any other figure on the mountain did wasn't in question.
Mm-hmm.
So our duty, there was I think eight of us total who had these big bright yellow shirt that said legal observers, just to, like, first of all, give the guys the kind, like, chicken skin. Oh, Brad, we stay watching you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did was, you know, the idea was eight cameras on any action at all times, so there's no question that, you know, when you see a picture being done, it's not being skewed in such a way that it could manipulate how the media portrays things or be used to our disadvantage. So we was doing that. And then we were supposed to, if anyone got arrested, take down that individual's information, take down all the information of the arresting officer, badge number, all this kind. So mm-hmm. there wasn't any pilake, there wasn't any questions of who's and stuff like that. So, you know, as being this documenter, I'm kind of walking around, listening to the cops say, like, oh, man, you know, this isn't going to be like last time, bro. We gave them plenty long time. We're just going to go at them, give them, yeah? And I'm just like, oh. You know, these guys kind of sound like some thugs in gym class, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, it's a little bit tense at that point. So, maybe around 9:30 now, and this guy Kamakau, who's running the arrest, he comes up to the front line. He's like, ladies and gentlemen, I am so-and-so Kamakau. I am here as part of the DNLR, blah, 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 blah. I'd like to let you guys know right now, I respect what you guys are doing, but I have to do my job. And if you guys want to get arrested, come up to me now, I'll give you guys arrested. I'm going to give you guys, you know, 15 minutes to think about this, but if you guys no move, you no move, right? So right there, Lalakea Trask, who's kind of one of the leaders of the movement, young guy, great guy, he was also right there on the front line, and chanting his akole off for hours now. He goes up to Kamakau and he's like, hey, you know, you can tell us this, but there's a line of people behind us, and there's another line, and another line. And you're legally obligated legally obligated to tell each one of those lines, because you know what? That line is so far away that they're not going to be able to hear you. So if you're just going to come march up the mountain, you cannot just go arrest those guys. You need to give them the same notice as you can give us, yeah? So, Kamakawa agrees. But, you know, he said originally for the first line, 15 minutes.
Mm.
So, Kamakawa, he's like, okay, you guys no move. I arrest you. And eventually that first line disperses and he gets up to the second line. And now he says the same spiel. Oh, right, you guys no move. I go arrest you for blocking traffic, like that. So, but this time, 5 minutes. No 15-minute warning. And I'm not sure if it's the second or third line now. But by the third line, he's really speeding up the process.
Sure, and the frustration level, I'm sure, is growing.
Oh, yeah. And then the intern, Kamakawa, is like, hey, all you guys that are... So what happened is a line would break up, and they go to the side and move up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was to eventually go behind all the lines so that you make another line and you just do that all day, yeah, all day, all day.
Leapfrog
kind, yeah. But what ended up happening, because there was so much passion in the air, you know, guys would stay on they'd go to the second line. They'd only get that far. And things kind of get all jammed up, you know, traffic jam and stuff. And so... You know, the DNLR guys are getting really upset because guys are taking a long time to just even walk up or whatever, and they're like, okay, you guys don't walk fast enough. We're going to arrest you. You know? And it's like, you get anti-guys that, like, can't even really walk that stay walking for this cause. You get, you know, this one lady who even, like, she's like, I shouldn't even be up here. And it's like, well, none of us should be up here in the first place. This is Vawakua. It's the realm of the gods. But suffice to say, you know, it's hard to walk up the mountain. It's like 9,000 feet, you know what I mean? And you're just like, ugh. So they start threatening for arrest and stuff like that. And then they finally arrest the first person. And who is it? It's a pregnant woman.
Oh, good choice.
Oh, yeah. Away.
Let's get her off the island first.
Yeah.
Before we go further, I just want to let you know that you are listening to Kauai Community Radio, KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, at 90.9 FM in Hanalei, 91.9 FM island-wide, 92.7 in Anahola, Moloa'a area. If you're on the island of Oahu, 104.7 FM and 95.1 on the cable dial. Streaming worldwide at www.kkcr.org. And this is the Kauai Soapbox Live. And I'm holding it down. Did a swaparola with Felicia. She'll be on Thursday with the Out of the Box special that she'll present. I'm sure some of the information she'll be sharing will relate to things local, things global, and stuff like that. I want to give a shout out to our supporters and our underwriters, because without them, we just don't have a whole lot of financial resources to make this station happen. It's a volunteer run. Got a couple of professionals that show up every day. Mahalo's for that. But you, the listeners, our members, and our underwriters make this really special thing happen. So just want to say mahalo's to the Copper Man and 808 Equipment for making this happen for us on this Kauai Soapbox Live. Uh-oh, I did it.
Galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
808 Equipment Rentals, providing tractor, bobcat, and BCS tiller services island-wide, including pasture mowing, garden bed raising, vegetation removal, terracing, gravel spreading, and more. 808 Equipment Rentals in Moloa'a. 823-1000.
Ho, ho, ho. So mahalo's to the Copper Man and 808 Equipment Rental. I'm going to play that one again because I cut the first off.
The Copper Man. copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
808 Equipment Rentals, providing tractor, bobcat, and BCS tiller services island-wide, including pasture mowing, garden bed raising, vegetation removal, terracing, gravel spreading, and more. 808 Equipment Rentals in Moloa'a. 823-1000.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of June 30th. There will be a regular council meeting Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. in the council chambers in Lihue. Here are some highlights from the agenda. The county engineer again transmits for council consideration resolution number 2015-49 establishing maximum speed limits of 20 miles per hour on certain roads in Kekaha. Council Chair Raposo transmits for council consideration a resolution establishing a county manager council subcommittee of the Committee of the Whole to obtain information regarding the county manager council form of municipal government. And this is resolution number 2015-50. Council Chair Raposo requests council consideration for the public release of the county attorney opinion relating to bill number 2589. That's recovery of rescue expenses dated May 27, 2015, and this was deferred from June 17. Council Chair Raposo also requests the managing director to discuss the audit of cash management practices that was prepared by the Office of the County Auditor and to respond to the various findings and recommendations cited in the audit. Under committee reports, the Public Works, Parks and Recreation Committee has a request from Committee Chair Kagawa for the county engineer and the Environmental Services Management Engineer to provide a briefing on the new hours of operation at all county refuse transfer stations and the rationale for the modification of operating hours. And this was received for the record. The Planning Committee approved Bill Number 2576, Draft 1, with amendments made to the South Kauai Community Plan Booklet. This is currently dated 2014, as referenced in Bill Number 2576, Draft 1. Council Chair Raposo requests the Planning Director and the County Attorney explain the process that occurs before and after the Public Access, Open Space, Natural Resources Preservation Fund Commission selects properties for acquisition, including a detailed summary of the Commission's current priorities and the eminent domain process and how it relates to the Commission's process and the acquisition of properties. And this was received for the record. The Committee of the Whole approved, as amended, Resolution Number 2015-44, Draft 2, urging Hawaii's congressional delegation to address excessive campaign spending by proposing and passing amendments, clarifying that corporations are not people with constitutional rights, in particular electoral rights, and that unlimited campaign spending is not free speech. Bill for the second reading is Bill 2576, Draft 1, for an ordinance establishing regulations, procedures, zoning, development plans, and future growth areas for the South Kauai Planning District. There will be a non-public executive session. The purposes are to meet with the county attorney pertaining to the hiring of an interim county auditor and or county auditor and to consult with the county's legal counsel. And two, have the county attorney provide a briefing discussion and consultation on issues pertaining to Bill Number 2589 relating to recovery of rescue expenses and related matters. If the council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for a public hearing on Bill Number 2589 for an ordinance relating to the recovery of rescue expenses. After the hearing, the council will reconvene to complete any unfinished business. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Have a great 4th of July and aloha.
There we go. Mahalo's John Gordon for that council update. And I've got a little side story here, somewhat related. Brother Eric is stepping out, get some fresh air. We're going to have a musical interlude with World Peace happening in our booth in a couple minutes. But this one is related to our utility cooperative. For those who've been driving around the east side to the north side, back to the Lihue side, you've noticed the solar array development going on. So kudos to KIUC for going green with our energy scene. But at the same time, there's a lot of questions as far as benefits that land that solar array is Hawaiian homelands. And there's been some issues raised with the local impact, if you will, that facility is going to have. If you've not seen it, it's quite an eyesore. Some folks would say, well, it's a lot better than looking at a smokestack. I would agree, but, you know, there might be some things that could be done to mitigate that eyesore. And this is an email that was forwarded to me. It starts out to the KIUC board chairpersons, directors, and who it may concern. It is with a heavy heart that I write this email. Have you seen what they have done to the beauty of our aina in Anahola? We are now welcomed by and look like a ghetto industrial neighborhood. Away. We used to have fragrant plumeria trees to greet you when we got home. Now look at what you've done. It absolutely takes your breath away in horror. The initial impact is devastating. Who, how, why was this done with no community input? We are 7,000 Native Hawaiians that live here and thousands more non-Hawaiians who now have to go look at this monstrosity on a daily basis. What were you guys thinking? That we wouldn't notice the big gray elephant in the room? These switch gears, transformers, poles, and inverters are one huge eyesore array. I understand Jim Kelly is on his way out here to see this ugly, ugly mess. Why didn't they put this towards the back of the property? Just 50 or 60 yards back would have made this less visible. You guys seem to be so culturally insensitive. It hurts us to see this horrible structure in our backyard. Just come and see it for yourself and cry. We need to meet, and you owe us and this community an explanation and apology. And that is, I'll carry on. Move it, cover it, paint it, hide it, plant huge trees or flowers, but do something now if you care. Like you say in your annual reports, then fix this mistake permanently. Just take some of the money you will be making from our Hawaiian lands and move it back further so we no longer have to suffer each and every day. Awe to those who no care, to aloha our aina and our spirit. Do you live here? All you had to do was ask the community before you did that. How simple. We would have told you to move it back further from the road and even helped you plant the trees to hide this industrial atrocity. Shame on those of you who are responsible. And that was an email that was forwarded to me. There's an article in, I believe it was yesterday's Garden Island, talking about this. Got it posted on our Facebook page. And it is unfortunate that this is what people living there are going to have to deal with. I don't know what kind of remedy might be possible, but it is unfortunate and something that our community will have to deal with. So we'll talk about that coming up. We have a musical interlude right now, World Peace in the studio. We'll get to your phone calls very shortly. But as we are, I'm going to mic you on up, stop talking, and you guys bless us with the peace.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly. There's a man with a gun.
battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Your people speak in their minds. Against all of resistance, all behind the shots. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
The sound of world peace on your community radio.
Is it frozen peas?
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
There we go, world peace back
tomorrow
in action.
There might not be any more world peace.
nature, love organic. I don't go for the GMO.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
I got one phone call while we were taking that musical break. Somebody was... listening a little bit about the KIUC infrastructure in Anahola. The question was, don't they have a landscape architecture with that, an architect with that design and all that stuff? And the question is, doesn't look like it. You know, unless that landscape designer really likes cyclone fences and big old transformer-like equipment.
I got some money.
Don't forget the lights.
Oh, yeah, the lights.
Yeah.
I read somewhere on a Facebook post that they were saying that they were doing it for the birds, but I'm not sure how much that really was the issue. So we got one more from World Peace. Not prepared at the moment.
We have a song for you. Yeah.
Oh, we got one for me. Yeah. Right on. Here we go. Let's do it.
No, you need to go over there.
Oh, okay.
And then Joel, come over here.
Joel,
come on over there.
Oh, before you accuse me, right?
Okay.
Go. What key?
A. Or G. No, do you call the key? If I'm going to make you sing it, you're going to have
to make me sing it.
Radio. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
On, here we go. Live
radio.
Here we go.
G. G.
Yeah.
I had a feeling.
Start like that.
Thank you.
take a look at yourself. Taking money from someone else. I called your mama about 3 or 4 nights ago. Yeah, I called your mama about 3 or 4 nights ago. Oh, well, your son.
King George, you got to.
I'll let him know what's up and see if he's ready for that.
Yeah, we're going to take it right now. On the air.
You're on the air. All right. I think we're done.
Caller, are you still there with us? We're making
a
rough
transition.
Yeah, I'm still
here.
How's that?
What'd you say?
Still with
us?
Oh, right on. Well, thank you for joining us back in the booth.
World Peace is just making their way out to the garage. Mahalo for that, boys, girls, ladies, gentlemen. Woo. And before you accuse me, you better take a look at myself. Sister, thanks for calling back. I appreciate that.
Can you hear my voice clearly on this phone?
I can. Much better.
Okay, good. Okay.
And if I'm not wrong, we were talking about the KIUC infrastructure in Anahola, correct?
Yes, and I was just thanking you so much for reading that email, because the person who wrote it is so right on, and I hope the citizens there will be heartened and really hound the people who have made these decisions into making changes and either moving that thing back or somehow bringing it around to change. But I also wanted to add to what I was saying, and that is that I am also appalled by the low-cost housing tenement that they just put in next to Foodland down in Princeville, which is now a whole bunch of boxed-like structures that are surrounded front and back by black tar. And it's like they expect people who pay low rent to live in hot boxes and with the reflection of the heat off the black tar. I mean, what kind of ignorance on the part of the people who are on the planning commission that they don't have a landscape architect who looks at these plans and sees whether they're visually and appealing and whether they are on some level humanly designed so that the people who are going to live in them are going to be comfortable. I mean, it's an insanity, and I think that it's really up to everyone in this community, north and south, east and west, to call the planning commission and call these people and say, we don't like the fact that you do not have somebody who is knowledgeable about living spaces and about, you know, landscape architecture on your commission, looking over every plan that goes through here. These plans are absolutely an outrage.
Well, I guess, you know, we can look at, in regards to who's at fault, whether it's the developer or the architect and the engineers.
No, you know who's at fault? Who's at fault is the people who are in charge of granting permits. You don't grant permits without having somebody who's an expert look at the site and also have some education about, you know, livability of spaces, about landscape architecture, understanding how the space should be designed, you know, plans should be put on a certain amount of space. I mean, it's just, they don't do that, and that's what's wrong, and I think it's absolutely essential.
Right.
It isn't. I mean, if you have a contractor coming up with a design or an architect, that's not enough. You have got to have somebody at the planning commission in the government who is passing and saying, yes, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this. Well, hello, who gives you the authority if you don't have enough of an education to understand what a livable space is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other thing is, it's black tar all around. Are you kidding? Everything is covered with black tar. That's covering off the life force of this planet and of all of us. Every living thing comes from the earth. And what do? We have the expediency of black tar and cement on the playgrounds, all over the shopping malls. I mean, it's insanity. And, I mean, it's not cheaper. It's not cheaper to kill off the earth.
You're absolutely right. It's not.
You know?
No.
So I think we need to, I'm being a little bit, I'm passionate because that's who I am. But it's not only, I mean, I really am. Every time I drive by these things, I go, oh, my God. I mean, who is allowing these things to happen? We elected these people. I mean, I don't know. Did they get appointed to the planning commission? Who is it that passes these plans?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Who is it that passes these things? The planning commission does have their hand in it, but I think the planning department is the one that actually does do that. The planning commission has a body of individuals from the community that are appointed by the mayor. There might be a council appointee in there as well.
But, you know, I mean, the thing is, you need to have, aside from having community people, which we definitely want, you need to have people who are educated and are knowledgeable.
Well, I'm sure
areas.
Well, I would imagine that the planning department has those people.
I don't think so. If you look at what they've allowed to come through, it looks to me like it's a bunch of bureaucrats living in the city under the influence of the corporate mind, thinking about how to save shekels, and it's ridiculous.
Well, you know, I'm not going to argue with you, that's for sure. And I'd have to agree, actually, on some of your points. It is unfortunate, and you wonder, well, what were they thinking? And back to the KIUC...
They're not thinking. That's the problem.
There is an absence or a disconnect. There's something that is clearly wrong about that picture.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, like the people in Anaheim. My God, I mean, how much of a genius does it take to think, let's put something as ugly as this in the back of the property where people don't have to look at it?
Mm-hmm.
No, they're going to put it right out in front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the same thing on this low-cost housing.
Right.
It looks like a tenement, and believe me, if you think it's going to engender peaceful living, I doubt very much. If all those poor people that are working very hard every day have to go home to a hot box and live squished together, you think they're all going to get along happily? I don't think so.
Yeah, well, we were just talking and commenting on that as we drove up. My booth partner today, Eric, made that same comment of like, wow, what were they thinking? I mean, how are they going to be able to ventilate? They open up the windows and you're just going to get this oven blast coming off the black tar.
It's unbelievably, it's based on ignorance, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway. I just wanted to let you know what I was thinking, and I wanted to just support the people who... Oh, somebody's calling me on my other phone. I'm going to get off.
There we go.
Anyway,
well, thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha, and live on the air, KCR.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you bet. Nice musical springboard there. Thank you.
Sure. Live music on our community radio always
Absolutely.
Works.
Absolutely. Fabulous. I attended the KIUC meeting, board meeting today, and there were a few of us who testified. And what was really remarkable was that the chair, Jan Van Ten Buitengate, allowed for people to give long testimonies. That's not usually done. So I commend Jan, the chairperson of the board, for doing that, because this issue of the Anahola Solar Array project site is something that I think not too many people understand why it is the way it is. According to Robin Danner, who was there, she claims to be the executive director of the Hawaiian Community Development Corporation,
mm-hmm.
which, as I understand it, way back in 2007, they got together and spent 2 years making a sort of a general plan for the entire Anahola area, which pretty much includes all of that market site up above on the flatland.
Mm-hmm.
And it also included, according to Robin Danner, the members of the residents in Anahola wanted actually to have a solar site dedicated as part of that plan. So where that site is pretty much, according to Robin Danner, very much where it was planned back in 2007. Now, that plan went through to the state, and it was approved. It was actually given an award for being so, thinking of all kinds of possibilities and coming up with what the state thought were very, very good ideas on the part of the Anahola community. The question about where all that stuff is in the front there that is upsetting so many people, including me, is because they could not put it in the back. And the reason is, according to Jim Kelly, who I spoke to after the meeting, that to get all the power from that whole sets of grids and battery storage units to the highway, so then that it could be directed down to KIUC or a substation somewhere, was because of the bird problem, as I believe you just mentioned. It would have to go several hundred feet, maybe 1,000 feet. I'm not exactly sure, because you know why? There has never, ever, in my research, been a drawing, an architectural rendering, or a photograph of what that facility would look like, and a map of it with dimensions on it. According to David Bissell, there was an environmental assessment made, which is not like an environmental impact statement. It's a preliminary to an environmental impact statement.
Sure.
And if not enough people see and review the environmental assessment, it will not go to an EIS. So whoever evaluated the environmental assessment probably did not do their homework, like the caller in front of me just said.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of holes and a lot of different viewpoints as to why this problem happened. And I believe it happened because when Jim Kelly took the position as customer, I don't know what his exact title is, but I think he does a great job. And he puts out, he is the editor of the Currents magazine, and he does his best to get the information out. However, this project started in 2012 with a contract between the Hawaiian group and KIUC. And here it is, 2015, and never once has the Currents magazine, which Jim Kelly is pretty much in charge of, put out any kind of diagram, maps, renderings, architectural drawings of what this thing was going to look like. To me, that was complete oversight, or maybe it was done intentionally, because perhaps if they knew that people saw that this was going to be a bunch of wire fencing, huge poles, and lots of large battery storage units right there on the highway that all of us can see every day back
right.
and forth, how many thousands of residents and our visitors. It's not just the people who live in Anahola. It's everyone going north on Kuhio Highway has to be subjected to this mess. So the argument is, well, they couldn't put it out there in front because of the birds. Now, I don't know exactly what the ramifications of that law is and how it affects this solar property, but I think that somebody would be worth their while to research that. Also, Jim Kelly said in his, when he first took the position and started editing the Currents magazine, they did a survey, KIUC did a survey, and they found out that 38% of the people who get Currents magazines, or the members, 38% of the members read the Currents magazine, and that's where they get most of their information about KIUC. That's a direct quote. And this project was, like I said, it was never explained in Currents magazine. I've gone back all the way to 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I have all of those issues. It's been noted. Yeah, it's in process, and yes, it's going to cost between $54 and $58 million. As members, I and everyone else are responsible for the loan that our board of directors approved, and that's going to come back. You know, the funds will come back to
right.
pay that off. But regardless, we are invested in that as members. So, you know, there, like I say, there's a lot of twists and turns to this. Now, one of the person who testified was a gentleman. I did not get his name or his business, but he has been called by KIUC to do a vegetation plan for the site. And what I did hear mention, and this probably is going to mitigate a lot of the visual problems, is they're thinking about putting Norfolk pines out there in front of this whole unit. And as we all know, those things can be a really good hedge, and they do, in fact, grow very tall. And eventually, maybe I had some here for 25 years, they're about as tall as they would need to be. And so they'll take about that long to grow. But in the meantime, the lease with the Hawaiian group is up in 25 years. And guess what? That entire facility goes back to the Hawaiian group that signed the lease with the KIUC, and they get to run the plant, or they get to sell the power back to KIUC or let KIUC manage it, or it can be dismantled. That's in the lease. It's so interesting when you start trying to do some research on this project, what you run into.
Right.
So,
well, I appreciate you sharing that latest information from the KIUC meeting today that kind of explains. I did put a text out to Chair Tim Brunkate to see if he would like to join us on the air. Maybe on Thursday's show, Felicia might get a return phone call because if they were in their end of the their typical end of the month meeting, they're not available to talk about this issue right now on this radio program.
Well, I think that's a great idea. And if you do get any of the board members on the phone or whatever, please do ask them a couple things. At this meeting, I had to leave early, but they supposedly were going to pass a rate for usage or usage for rate. In other words, depending on when you use your electricity, you will be charged a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been talking about doing this for a long time, and apparently the ordinance was passed today, or at least it was presented today, and it's going to be a one-year trial period with 300 KIUC members to see if it can work and get people to try to save more electric power. The other thing that was supposed to be discussed today is, remember, the smart meter people who opted out are mm-hmm. all paying a $10.27 mm-hmm. monthly fee to not have a smart meter. Carol Bain, director, thank her very much. She asked for a complete filing of exactly what the costs have been for drivers to go out and actually hand, or with a wand actually, take the meter readings of all the people who have opted out. And I would like to know what the result of that study has been. So you might ask them those questions.
Well, thank you again, Marge, for that, and appreciate the call-in and informative information shared with us all.
You bet. Thanks for your
thank
program,
you.
Jimmy. It's always great.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Aloha. And we have one caller right back. Uh-oh. Hold on. Yes, caller, are you there now?
Hey there,
hi.
I am.
And thank you for being patient, and you've got a solution that you'd like to share for...
Yeah, well, just a couple thoughts about solutions for that horrible eyesore, you know, that big electric business that
mm-hmm.
everybody's been bitching about. But let's talk solutions. Let's talk about creative solutions. So I'm a gardener. I'm a landscaper. I come across a million different plants, and as your caller previously was saying, Norfolk's, how about let's do something better than Norfolk's? Let's do something colorful and fruitful, something that we can all, you know, reap benefits from, as well as the aesthetic value of it looking beautiful. I would give some coconut trees. I've got baby coconuts. Let's make it a beautiful flower, colorful wall that when we drive by there, it's something that we're looking forward to seeing rather than wanting to, you know, shut our peripheral vision and drive by it as fast as we can. That's one thought. The other solution that I was thinking about is, how about a mural wall? Let's put up, and, you know, we can put up inexpensive wall that looks ugly, but let's bring kids from all the different schools and do beautiful mural paintings and then put up some flowers in front of that. It could turn into something that we're proud of rather than something that we're ugly in about,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Sure.
That's what I thought about it.
Well, I appreciate that. There's definitely things that could be done. It would be nice to know what they're going to be.
It would.
Yes, and we should put that one on the agenda in regards to good suggestions or sound suggestions that just might work for our cooperative co-op and for the Anahola residents that are going to...
Yeah, and I think if you put it out there, I'm sure that Kauai Nursery Nechak guys would be willing to donate some beautiful things. And, you know, I think... there's all sorts of green solutions that we can do to the ugliness there. So you guys have a great afternoon. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you. And we are live on the air with you. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Jimmy. This is Pat Gagin. How are you doing?
Pat Gagin, thanks for joining us, KIUC Director.
I've heard a little bit of the discussion and just want to clarify a couple of things.
All righty.
There was Mr. Teddy Blake just came to the KIUC meeting and talked about some of the solutions similar to the last caller. Their hope is to put usable plants there, both for, you know, cultural purposes as well as food type purposes. But that is ultimately going to go out for an RFP.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a matter of, you know, different people putting their ideas together. And if somebody wants to get involved, I think the Anahola Solar Advisory Committee has a meeting on the 20th of this month, and they are going to be discussing the landscaping. So that would be a great opportunity for them to give their manao.
Mm-hmm. And Pat, so this design, was there kind of an oversight, or did we know it was going to be this ugly and we figured we'd come up later and make it beautiful, or what happened?
Well, I mean, ultimately, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and the fact that the solar panels are out there, I tell you, looks a lot better than driving over the hill at looking down at Port Allen and seeing the four smokestacks putting, you know, diesel fumes into the air. So, but as far as the substation, which is actually what I think people are mainly concerned about, it was always planned on being landscaped around there. And I mean, there just is some infrastructure that you have to deal with if you're going to use electricity.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have those lines close to the ground because that'll create hazards for people. It needs to have the tall poles, unfortunately. And, you know, having it right there at the highway is actually the way to minimize the amount of infrastructure you're going to see. If the solar farm had been put back further, we'd have poles coming all the way from it out to the highway also.
Right. And could this substation, could it have been located on the opposite side of the arrays so it wasn't right on the roadway?
And it potentially could have been. That would have been an additional cost, and we still would have had to have the high poles then going from the back of the structure all the way to the front to hit the lines out by the road.
Right, right.
So there's pluses and minuses, and mm-hmm. You know what I mean, you're not going to make everybody happy all the time, but I guarantee you that, you know, I mean, that this is obviously a high profile issue right now. There already was landscaping that was being planned, but the board definitely is taking the community's concerns into account, and you know, hopefully we can find something that will at least make it look a little bit better for those who are having so much difficulty looking at it.
There we go. Well, really appreciate, Pat, your two cents on this, and I know you guys had your meeting earlier today. I appreciate your chiming in to help clarify and also add a little bit more perspective to the conversation.
No problem. And just two more quick things. There was concern about, or Marge had brought up, a request to analyze the cost for the non-smart meter people. That is ongoing at this point in time. Marge just should keep in touch with Carol Bain, and as soon as those numbers come out, I'm sure she'll share them. And the other thing is Marge also talked about a proposed pilot project. It has not been approved, but it would be using the smart meters to see if we can have people change their behavior to help minimize our peak in the afternoon, in the evening, which is really the electricity that costs us the most. If
mm-hmm.
we can get people to use it during the day when the solar is on, it will be better. But that is just a pilot program that still has to be approved by the PUC. So nothing is in action at this point.
Terrific. I was going to ask you that. Would that rate of use request, would that have to go through the PUC, but it will before it becomes something that we could anticipate here on Kauai?
It will. And again, like Marge said, it is just a pilot. It would only deal with 300 people who would be chosen in the community. And ultimately what's going to happen is just their daytime rates, I think between either 10 and 2 or 10 and 3, would be able to go down about 25%, with the idea that hopefully that will incentivize them to use energy at that time rather than continuing to use it between 5 and 10 when our peak is.
And that's the key, is to use the energy, not waste the energy.
Exactly, and utilize it at a time when we have an abundance on the island, and which will not allow us or require us to burn more fossil fuels, which if we all do our wash and all do our cooking at 5 o'clock when we get home, we're going to have to continue burning fossil fuels until we get some other firm power in there.
There we go. Well, thank you, Pat. Appreciate that. And
thank you, Jimmy.
Please call in anytime. I'm not sure what Felicia's got going on Thursday, but I'm sure we've got some more conversations related to our utility cooperative and the work that you guys do.
Sounds good. Have a great day, Jimmy.
Aloha. You too. Eric, we're coming to the end of our show. Thank you for joining us. sharing your mana'o and your experience for the Maui. Onakea, we are not done with this story. It's going to be one that we're going to be on for a while, and nothing on the horizon that's going to say this story goes away quickly.
It's there's definitely no confirmation of anything, and as a ranger said, I'll see it when I believe it, in terms of the stopping of anything up on the mountain. And so I think at the moment it's just a matter of exercising good faith and believing. And probably the most important thing I just like to, you know, everyone to take away from this is that, you know, believing is important, and having a solid community that comes together, looks after each other, is the way to do it. And one of the best things to do that is through food and for sharing our stories and our love with each other. And if you believe, anything is possible. And there was a moment where I didn't think we could be able to do it, but, you know, we were able to at least temporarily put a halt to this thing. And so I just like to thank you, Jimmy, for letting me talk today. Everyone out there on Koine and worldwide that had to listen to me ramble on for a while. And I just want to mahalo everyone up there on the Mauna and everyone who has their heart taking care of our natural resources. This is not just a thing for Hawaii or for Mauna Kea.